Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 274 of the Family Medicine Rocks podcast for Thursday, August 30th, 2012. On today's show, that's right, it is the fifth anniversary for this show. That's right, August 30th, 2007 was the first podcast. Very excited about that. I'm going to be reminiscing a little bit and also talking about some stories from the past week on this short show here this afternoon. All that coming up on episode 274 of the Family Medicine Rocks podcast. The five-year anniversary show begins right now. Passionate about medicine and social media. This is the Family Medicine Rock podcast for a Thursday afternoon here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. My name is Mike Savella. I am your host, and welcome to the show here today. This is a show by a family physician for the growing community of the Italian medicine community. Take two. check out my digital library of stuff at familymedicinerocks.com. And shout out to everybody following me on Twitter, all 10,036 people. That's why I don't do a lot of daytime shows, because I'm not even awake yet. Also, shout out to all 495 people who like the Facebook page for this show. Thank you so much for that. Today is Thursday, August 30th. 2012. It is noon Eastern time, and here at Family Medicine Rocks World Headquarters in late August, it is, wait for it, 73 degrees Fahrenheit. And I want to thank everybody for joining me here this afternoon, and very excited about the show here this afternoon. And going to be looking back here a little bit at 5 years of this podcast here. And I can't believe it's been that long already. I want to thank everybody for your continued support, not only for this show, but for all of my social media projects through the years. And I really, really very much appreciate that. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. I encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes, and almost all 274 shows are available there on iTunes, and I invite you to check all of those out. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about some past shows here, and I do have a clip, an audio clip from show number one, which was 5 years ago today. And that'll be interesting to kind of listen to and reflect on and to talk about a little bit. And also some interesting stories from the past week, especially social media coverage of hurricane slash tropical storm Isaac down there in Louisiana and the New Orleans area. I have some audio clips of people who are documenting their accounts firsthand from their home using social media, so we'll talk about that. I may even talk about this week a little bit, and I got to talk to my medical school alma mater, the first-year class, about professionalism and social media. So we'll get to most of that or all of that. But first, I do want to thank Blog Talk Radio for having me be a featured host here on this very network. Thank you so much for that. And if you're curious, yes, I'm a real doctor. I am a family physician in full-time private practice here in northeastern Ohio. And we will take our break here. We'll take our break here on this abbreviated show here this afternoon. You're listening to the Family Medicine Rocks podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Family Medicine Revolution. Just Google FM Revolution for more details. And also a member of the ProMed Network of podcasts. And you can go to promednetwork.com. And we will be right back.
My name is McCoy. I'm a doctor.
What am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor?
I jumped every time a light came on around here. I'd end up talking to myself.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
You're a healer. There's a patient. That's an order.
I'm a surgeon, not a psychiatrist.
Look. I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic. I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
No, you're an engineer.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
You keep saying that. Are you a doctor, aren't you?
I don't know.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Social media through the eyes of a family physician. This is the Family Medicine Rocks podcast. My name is Mike Savella. And that's right, it was 5 years ago today, on August 30th, 2007, when this show first went on the air. Went on the air at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because they still, the rules are in Blog Talk Radio, you can have a primetime show in the afternoon. So we did, I think it was a short show back then, just to kind of get a feel for things. And the first few shows there had a lot of technical problems, I think, with Skype. My first few shows, I would just, it would just drop off in the middle of a show and trying to work through the Skype issues and the router issues and all that good stuff. And if I was a good host, I would have clips from parts of each of the 274 past shows, but I'm a bad host. But it's been a great ride out there. I've been a featured host here on the network since November 12, 2007, just a few months after starting this here. 274 shows. Of course, I haven't went every week, but I've had about 150,000 listen/downloads for all the shows, and very humbled by just anybody just listening to what I am talking about. And I was listening to some past shows last evening, you know, and for the first anniversary show back in 2008, the chat room was loaded with people. I think I had about 18 or 20 people in the chat room, and the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio has really scaled back a little bit. I don't know for everybody else, but for me, but I don't know. It's because maybe people are moving on to other types of media, or they're just media overloaded with things. I very much appreciate people, you know, who listen to the show live, but certainly not as much as in past years. And that's okay. That's okay. I treasure and I appreciate anybody who gives me any amount of their time, because I know that there's a lot of other things that you could be doing than listening to me or to read what I write and that type of thing. So thank you so much for all of that there. Now, well, what I have here is it's about a 4.5 minute clip from show number one. And I was listening to the whole 30-minute show last night, and this is kind of the essential 4.5 minutes. And in this 4.5 minutes here that I'll share with you from show number one is kind of, I tell you, you know, why I started this podcast, a little bit of why I started social media in the first place. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, listening to your words from back then. And, you know, 5 years is a million years in technology and social media. It's interesting, you know, just hearing me tell the story of how it is and why and things like that. And so I will play a little bit. I will play this 4.5 minute clip here and have you enjoy that. And I will have some reflection after this clip. So this is from August 30th. 2007. This is show number one of what was called back at that time the Dr. Anonymous show. Now, for those of you who don't know me, and how can you not, I am Dr. Anonymous, and you can find me at dranonymous.com. I've been blogging since June of last year, and I guess my story goes a little bit like this. I think in late 2005, I think in December, I was laid up for a week. I was sick. I was home. I was not feeling that good. And I was kind of messing around over on the iTunes and kind of found out about podcasting. And started listening to some podcasts, and then that's how I started getting into blogging. I started reading some blogs here and there, and tried to figure out, you know, is this something I can really do? Would I be really good at it? Who knows? So it took me about 6 months before I really got up the courage to put up a blog of my own, went live on my blog in mid June 2006. I remember my first post. It was like four lines. It was something along the lines of, "I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Is anybody going to read this? Thanks. Goodbye." And interestingly enough, I got some comments on that very first post, and a lot of people had something that I've really enjoyed about the internet and the blogging and the podcasting communities is how welcoming it is to people, people who are lurkers out there who don't think who are like me and didn't know really whether they could do their own blog, do their own podcast, and now even doing a whole show. I started tinkering around with podcasting probably about a year ago, and I put some music together and some commentary, and I really, really just wasn't happy with it at all. And just the whole editing process was really frustrating to me. And the one thing I like about blogging is that you just type it, and sometimes I would make some edits, and sometimes I wouldn't. And I just kind of sent it out there and see. That's what I really like about blogging and podcasting. So I started putting some podcasts together, and I took some trips last fall and put some podcasts together, and I really, really didn't like it that much. Is there something going on with my connection here? This is not a good thing. Let's see what's going on here. Bear with me as I jump out my window here. Let's see what this... Oh, okay. Looks like we're back going. This is the first show, can you tell? So how did I get into Blog Talk Radio? That's actually a good question. I forget who the first Blog Talk Radio show I listened to, but it's interesting because people can actually just interact with you in real time, which is really, really cool and really interesting. So it took me about, I don't know, a couple of months to really see, is there something that I could do? Is there something that I could really, really want to do as far as my own show? So this could be the first and last show ever of Dr. Anonymous. So you definitely have to keep tuned in here. So I'm back live here on the 5-year anniversary show, and listening to that whole show number one and those first few shows, I think I still say the same amount of ums that I did back then. I'm just more comfortable with it now. I remember reading about and listening to how to do a good podcast, and you know, when you're editing, you have to edit out all the ums and make it sound smooth and everything like that. And as I said in that clip there, I was just very frustrated with all the editing process and that type of thing. And that's how I found my way here to Blog Talk Radio, where, you know, they save a lot of time for me. And I very much appreciate that. And I'm kind of looking back, you know, looking back to that first year, looking back, you know, to the second year, and what I really wanted to do at the time, and kind of what I want to do now, is give opinions about medicine and social media topics, and interview interesting people out there in medicine and in social media. And I remember, you know, when I first sent some emails to people saying, hey, you know, I'd like to interview on my show, and my name is Mike, but I'm actually going by Dr. Anonymous, and please come on my show. And people would be like, you know, freaked out or creeped out or like, what are you doing? And so it was interesting just trying to make the pitch back then about people to come on the show. But now it's like, hi, I'm Mike Savilla. You still don't know me. I'm still kind of unknown. Do you want to come on the show to talk about what's cool in social media and the cool things that you're doing in social media? And there's a lot of memorable interviews. I don't want to start naming people and name dropping and that type of thing. But some of the coolest podcasts were the coolest shows were really early on when I had people from outside of the United States call in to the show, and I would get. Back then, this was before Twitter and Facebook and everything. I would get these email messages and blog comments of people who would get up in the middle of the night in another country to listen to the show live. That just humbled me so much. People would just make the time to get up in the middle of the night, or if they were working, obviously, you know, medical field and things, and they're on call or whatever, and they get up in the middle of the night to listen to, you know, 45 minutes or an hour show in a whole different country. That is the beauty of the internet. That is the beauty of social media, and to have those people call in and talk about what is going on in their country. That is just such a fascinating type of story, and that's, you know, obviously when I would get a lot of people listening into the show, you know, having two or three continents on the phone at the same time, those are the things that I remember that are very special to me. And I don't know how long I'm going to be going with this podcast. I don't know, there was a lot of talk back then, and you know, that how long would this platform be around? How long would Blog Talk Radio be around? You know, would they be one of those .com like companies not really get an income stream or a business model and then fold after a year or 2 years or 3 years or something like that? And I'm glad Blog Talk Radio is still around. It has, you know, all 274 of my shows here on their site, and it's also on iTunes, and you can go and listen to them and listen to the interviews and listen to me mess up and listen to the conversation and listen to what people are really, really passionate about, whatever they're doing, whether it's in medicine or social media or whatever. So those are kind of the memories that I have, you know, going back 5 years. I also remember, you know, when I rebranded myself and was no longer Dr. Anonymous and came out with my own name and this is who I am, this is my new website and things, and that was a tough decision too, because I know, you know, as you reveal more of yourself, as you become more transparent, there's good and bad that comes about with that. And my fears did not come true, I guess, as of this point. And I don't want to share them with you, but I did have some wild thoughts in my head when I said, hey, I'm going to be no longer Dr. Anonymous. I'm going to be Mike Sabella. But, you know, it's been a good time. It's been a good ride. And that's something that I've been very happy with in the past, recent history, in the past couple of years. The family medicine social media community has been slowly growing. And we're getting more and more people out there, you know, using social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy with that. But I want to thank, you know, again, I want to thank everybody out there for supporting me, supporting my social media life. This has been, you know, I would never have dreamed of this back in medical school. How could you? I appreciate everybody's support of the things that I do. And I could have not done this without you. I would not have gone forward and continue to do this without all of you out there listening and leaving comments and thumbs up and retweeting and all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for your support of what I do. I very, very much appreciate it. I'm going to take a break here. And after the break, I'm going to talk about an interesting thing this week as far as social media coverage of Hurricane/Tropical Storm Isaac. I know, that's you have to stay tuned here. We'll be right back here on the Dr. Anonymous Show, the 5th-year anniversary show number 274. Check out my digital library of stuff at familymedicinerocks.com, and we will be right back. And welcome back to the Dr. Anonymous Show. Welcome back to the Family Medicine Rocks podcast. My name is Mike Sevilla. And this week, you know, our thoughts and prayers are out there down in the Louisiana area where Isaac came through in the past few days. Category 1 hurricane, now a tropical storm. And our good friends there, Doc Foreman and Harper, were doing their best to try to document Doc Foreman's first hurricane. She said she's originally, or she was in the Kansas area. And I'm going to be playing some audio clips here. And the first one here is just Doc Foreman talking, and Harper talking about her first hurricane. This is about a 3-minute clip.
Hi, this is at Doc Foreman, and we are getting ready for a hurricane here in Louisiana. And this is my very first hurricane. I just moved here from Kansas, but this is Harper, who is a Louisiana native. It's going to tell me all about how to get through this hurricane. So Harper, I've got gas and water and stuff to survive a power outage, and I drove my four-wheel drive to work, and it's sunny out and hot, and I find this whole thing confusing.
Absolutely. This is a very confusing time. It's kind of what they talk about with the calm before the storm. So right now we're experiencing very sunny weather, and this is just kind of the atmosphere before the storm moves into Baton Rouge, into our area. So it's starting to get a little windy out here. If you look behind us, you can see some of the clouds that are starting to roll in, right? And what we're going to see is over time, it's going to get a little bit darker. It's going to get a little bit more windy. It's going to get rainy. And it's going to get a little, it's going to look stormy. And so we're starting to kind of get into that. You can see the wind blowing our hair.
This is a nice breeze.
A nice breeze. It's going to get a little bit windier.
So now I hear things like that they'll impose a curfew in just a few hours, and I hear things like we shouldn't drive, and there is nothing wrong with the roads. It's a beautiful day, and it's just going to rain a little bit. So, I mean, quite honestly, as a native Kansan, I find this very confusing advice.
Absolutely. So the wind is going to ramp up, and it's okay to be a little anxious. It's going to get stormy. And what it's going to do is it's going to affect the trees. It's going to affect some of the things outside because it's going to be so windy. And it may obstruct roads, which you don't want to be on, just for safety reasons. And they may impose a curfew at some point just to make sure that the residents of our area are safe and not on the roads with all of the debris.
So, how do I know that Louisiana isn't just like wussies who are overreacting? Because this, I tell you, it's a beautiful day out, and I find all of this preparation a little alarming. So how bad can it get?
Well, it could get very, very windy, and depending on how the storm strengthens over time and where we are in relation to the storm, it could get very windy, very rainy, and you don't want to be outside in that. So you kind of have to play it a little bit by ear and just take precautions ahead of time to be sure that you're safe when the storm does arrive.
Yeah, because I hear it's not really the rain so much. It's the flooding in low-lying areas, and that a lot of trees can break here and power lines can go down.
Right.
And it's not that you can't really drive in the rain on a safe street. It's that there are projectiles.
Right. And trees fall, power lines fall, and just some safety hazards of living in a big city. We have a lot of infrastructure which could be impacted by the storm.
Okay. So we're going to be posting this on Facebook, and we're going to be updating you, at my very first hurricane, so I'm going to tell you all about it for those of you who aren't from Louisiana and you aren't from hurricane country. I have to tell you, best part about this, though, Harper, quite honestly, is that the beer section sold out before the water section did.
Yes, absolutely. We like to have fun, especially if we have to be inside.
I'll keep you posted. Thank you, Harper. Thank you, Louisiana.
Thanks.
So that was 2 days ago. I think it was in the afternoon, and I think that is when just kind of the wind just started to come up there a little bit, and you can hear, you know, the wind coming in through the microphone as they're recording. I believe maybe it's an iPhone or some kind of smartphone that is that they're recording with. So this second clip here. This is about a minute and a half. This is in the inside here, and the concept that they're trying to get to here is called a rain band, associated with a tropical storm slash hurricane. This is April Harper again.
Okay, so we're just checking in again this afternoon. This is Harper Levy. I'm at Doc Foreman. And Harper, like, I'm new to hurricanes, and Harper is a Louisiana native who's explaining them to me. Harper, everyone's talking about a rain band, and I'm assuming this isn't a rock group.
No, not a hair band.
So what's a rain band?
A rain band are the storms and set of storms that surround the hurricane, and they're involved in that circulation around the hurricane. And so they tend to affect areas right before the hurricane comes on shore. They're kind of the outer circle.
Okay, so when the rain band hits us, so like when it hits us, what should we expect?
We should expect high winds and storms. It's part of the hurricane. It's just the outer surrounding storms. So that's what we call bands. If you look at a radar picture of the storm, you're going to see these storm bands that kind of border the hurricane.
So like that's when the weather starts.
Correct. That's when the weather starts to get bad, starts to get stormy, a lot more rainy, and it just kind of ramps up from there.
So when is it coming?
I think it's starting right about now. We're starting to get more clouds and more rain. I know some of the bands, according to the forecast, are moving on shore, so we're going to start seeing some hurricane-like weather very soon.
Okay, so I'm going down.
You're going down.
Is the sort of the message. So
you're going to be fine.
Right, and like I have... Like a battery and a portable hotspot, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to be trying to make these and let everyone know that I'm fine,
that we're okay. We will survive.
Right.
If you see the video there, it's still in the daytime. You want to go see the video, it's at youtube.com/HarperLevy. HARPERLEVY. These next two clips here, I'm going to play back to back here. And the first one is with April. The next one is with Harper. Harper's talking about where to park your car during a tropical storm, hurricane type situation. So here's a couple back to back clips here.
Hi, this is at Doc Foreman, and I'm just keeping you updated about my hurricane experience. It's starting to get cloudier outside, and the wind is picking up. I think you can kind of see it, like the trees are blowing overhead, and it's starting to be just a little bit cooler. My understanding is that the rain band is pushing closer, but we are fine. I mean, it's still sunny and nice out. And this is what I understand sort of fools people. They don't evacuate because it just doesn't seem bad. Once it's bad, it's too late. So we're prepared. We have batteries, candles, food to eat, a gas grill to cook on, as well as ways that we can charge electronics even when the power goes out. So, like, and even a way to have an internet hotspot. So I'll be able to keep you updated. So here we are live from Baton Rouge at Doc Foreman. Harper Levy is going to be back on later. There's that.
Hey, it's Harper Levy again. I came to you earlier with Doc Foreman, and Doc Foreman is going through her first hurricane this summer. So we were talking about ways to prepare, what's going on, and kind of processing what's going on around us. One thing I didn't mention earlier that I think might be helpful is it's good to know where you're going to park your car, and it's good to find a good safe spot for it. I know when I came home today, I really had to think about where was going to be the best place to park my car, considering that I live around trees, I live around a lot of debris, and I have to be careful that I don't park in a place that can endanger my car. You really have to think about trees, power lines, debris. If you have a garage, of course, that's optimal. Sometimes a carport can be good, but sometimes a carport can be flimsy, and so you have to be careful where you park. But if you park in a parking lot, it's good to find a spot away from trees, away from power lines, and kind of away from any debris that may be on a fence that could hurt your car. So I didn't mention that earlier, but just another tip for at Doc Foreman. And if you'd like to follow her on her adventure through her first hurricane, follow at Doc Foreman on Twitter. Thanks.
So we're back live. And, I am, as I'm watching this two nights ago, I'm trying to see, how long they're going to keep going with this because, of power outages and When is their internet going to drop? When is, cell phone coverage going to drop, for them not to be able to upload, videos. These are videos. I mean, these aren't audios. These are videos that they put on YouTube. And I did learn about, where to park your car during a hurricane, which is going to be very helpful for me here in Ohio. But I'm trying to, to get into the story, down there. About things to keep in mind and things to worry about when things come along. These next two back-to-back clips here, this is with April, and this first clip here is she introduces Mr. Doc Foreman, which I think is hilarious. And the one after that is what she says, what to do with the kids, during a hurricane. There's a couple of back-to-back clips here with Doc Foreman.
So this is at Doc Foreman, and this is Mr. at Doc Foreman, and we're getting ready for the hurricane. And we want to thank Harper Levy for tips about where to park our car. This is where our car is parked. But don't worry, we have a sturdy carport with, that it's attached to the house and in between the house and shed, so I think we're okay. So we're planning to shelter in place. We have everything that we need. But what do you think is the worst part about getting ready for a hurricane?
The waiting is definitely the worst part. You prepare your house, you prepare your yard, you stock your food, you recharge all of your rechargeable electronics, and then you wait and wait some more.
Exactly. But if you don't do this ahead of time, it'll be too late. So it's sort of like hurry up, run around, be crazy, and then wait. And that's what we're doing. It's about ready to be night. You can see the sun setting behind us. And our goal is, of course, to be totally comfortable when the rain starts coming down early this morning. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So one of the things that I've been asked by some of the people watching this movie is, well, then, what about your kids? And so one of the pieces of advice that I got was, have board games, keep electronics charged, have, yummy things to eat, which we've made to do. And then the kids have been playing with the neighbors and having a great time because they got off from school. And so I'm going to knock on a door here. We're going to see who's in.
Yes.
Hey, CJ.
Yes.
Can I come in?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then here's CJ. See, he's getting ready for his first hurricane. Say hi, world.
Hi, world.
And have you had fun playing?
Yeah.
So he's had a good time, and we're looking forward to tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then we have Jane. Jane, where are you? And Jane is hiding under her covers here, so I'm going to totally respect her privacy. I'd like to say that I was a meaner mom than that, but I'm not. But she's also been playing with the neighbor kids, having a great time. So our neighbor just told us two really interesting things. One is that they've had a voluntary evacuation about 15 minutes away from us, and of course that we may need to sandbag because we're not entirely sure. So one of the things that could happen is, even though it's up on a hill, it's like the highest part of the house, that the water could still come in the bottom of there. So we've got some plans for how we're going to manage the water. The neighbors have sandbags. I don't know how this is going to go, but we'll definitely keep you updated.
So we're back live, and so this is the last one from two nights ago, and this is in this last, audio / video. I sense a little bit of anxiety from Doc Foreman at that point. It's dark. You can see the video is dark, and she's starting to get a little bit antsy there. I don't know if it's because of impatience or whatever, and I'm trying to think of my mind, kind of where she's coming from. And I tried to get her on the show today, but I obviously there's a lot of stuff going on down there. But I'm thinking, she's from Kansas. She's from the, that central part of the country, where bad, storms are, hit and miss. You're just like, severe thunderstorm warning. And, for the next hour or two, boom, we're done. Tornado warning for the next 30 minutes. Then boom, we're done. But now this hurricane, tropical storm. And there was news of it, a couple of nights ago, slowing down. So the storm part, is something that her and her family are probably not used to at all. That's just kind of a steady, type of storm as far as rain and wind. It's not like a huge storm that passes right through or is there for you know, a few hours and then gone. This is something that is, you know, that a storm that is on for a number of hours, even a couple of days or so, until, you know, you're kind of through it. So that's kind of the sense that I got from this last most recent audio video that I just played for you on the show here. So we're gonna switch now to yesterday morning, and I'm gonna play one from Doc Foreman and one from Harper. This is about, and what they say here today is about 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning local time there, and these are a lot shorter audio clips.
Good morning again. This is at Doc Foreman. I'm just giving you the morning's update. It's about 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Isaac is coming, and I don't know if you can see behind me, but it's already fairly windy and rainy, and we heard the wind all night. About 28,000 Baton Rouge residents are without power, and the storm is actually, my understanding, has slowed down, so the actual run of the storm may arrive later. We were prepared as early as Monday night for the storm, but it looks as if, you know, it actually gets worse a little bit later. You can hear it sort of picking up. But we're all fine and we still have power. Signing off. Hey, it's Harper Levy. It is Wednesday, actually the anniversary of Katrina. Today's kind of a somber day for most people, simply because it's the anniversary of the biggest hurricane in our history, in New Orleans' history. And we're also facing another tropical storm / hurricane coming into the area. But I wanted to give you an update from Baton Rouge today. Things are looking okay right now. It's about 9 in the morning. The wind's blowing pretty hard. We're getting gusts up to 50 and 60 miles an hour. Sustained winds at about 40, 30 to 40-ish. So we haven't quite yet started to see the effects of Hurricane Isaac. We're kind of just seeing the outside of the storm. So we expect things to get a little bit worse. The mayor is urging people to stay off the roads today, so we're just hunkering down at home, trying to stay safe. Luckily, we did have power when we woke up this morning, so we were able to get dressed and kind of function as normal this morning. We're hoping things don't deteriorate too much, so all is well here in Baton Rouge. We're just kind of waiting to see what happens. You can follow us at Harper Levy and at Doc Foreman. Thanks.
I thought they wouldn't continue, but they kept going, they kept giving, you know, video / audio updates, but you can tell that, you know, and I was there, I'd be going nuts too. I just like, let's just get this over with, and hopefully it's not a lot of damage that we can get on with our lives, but the waiting, you know, the waiting and hoping that there's not a lot of damage, not a lot of wind, not a lot of that type of stuff. It's starting to be seen and heard on these videos and things. And in these next couple of, I have about three audio clips here left. The next two are from Doc Foreman, and they're both ones in the earlier in the morning, ones later in the morning, and you can kind of sense from her voice kind of what's going on here. These are shorter clips here.
This is at Doc Foreman. I'm checking in from Baton Rouge on Wednesday afternoon, about 10 o'clock or so, and the storm has picked up. My husband went for a quick errand, and I'm back, and at 11:47, we finally lost power. Don't worry, I still have a hot spot, and our electronics are all charged up, and when they lose charge, we'll charge them back up again, so we'll keep in contact with you, but you may not hear about us from us as often. It's still going pretty hard outside, but we are safe, we are well supplied with food, and everything is fine. Take care.
So I guess it was like an inevitability, you know, that the power was going to go out. And, you know, I was kind of curious about their tropical storm, hurricane preparations, not only for this storm, but like when they moved to that area. as far as what they thought they were going to have, or you know, maybe they had some equipment or, you know, like a power generator or something from their previous residence where they were living before in Kansas. But I have one more clip here. This is from yesterday afternoon, and this is the last video clip that they put on their YouTube site. And this is about a minute and a half from Doc Foreman.
It's a little bit after 5 o'clock, still on Wednesday, during Hurricane Isaac, and this is at Doc Foreman. I'm just calling to check in. We still have power, as you can see, but it's been raining a lot. Now, the rain and the wind has been pretty amazing, and I have to keep reminding myself that this is the beginning of a Category 1 hurricane, and this is exactly why you really have to take evacuation orders seriously and why you have to do your hurricane preparation. Because if we had started our hurricane preparation this morning, it just would have been too late. The stores would have been bought out. If we'd wanted to evacuate out of town, we wouldn't have been able to do so. This just wasn't going to work well. And I want to give you a brief look about what it would be outside. And I'm going to have to hold onto the door and brace it, so just a second here. So we're really lucky that we live on a hill, and we're really lucky that we're fairly well drained. But if you didn't live on a hill, I mean, things would be and are flooded, and we still haven't finished getting rain, and we won't finish for a long time. But we're fine here at the Doc Foreman house. Hurricane Isaac is going all right. We still have a few more hours before the worst of it hits us, but if things go well, we'll have weathered the storm spectacularly, I hope.
So that's the last video clip that is put up there. You can go to youtube.com/HarperLevy to see all of them. I've been seeing some Facebook updates this afternoon, and it seems like that they're doing okay. And I'll be curious to see how they kind of close the loop, how they kind of finish the story when they get back on video, as far as you know, what they have to say about it, especially Doc Foreman's experience through it. Hopefully I'll be able to get her on the show here to talk about that, and from her first person perspective, from somebody who's never been through a hurricane slash a tropical storm in the past. So I will take one more break here, and I will share a story here from this week. I was out at my medical school alma mater talking about social media and digital professionalism. You're listening to the Family Medicine Rocks podcast here on a Thursday afternoon here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. My name is Mike Sevilla. Go to familymedicinerocks.com and we will be right back. That's right, the show that is the unstoppable force of Family Medicine. This is the Family Medicine Rocks podcast. In our remaining moments here, I'm going to share a story here with you that took place this week, and I was honored to be asked to talk at my alma mater, the Northeast Ohio Medical University, formerly the Northeastern Ohio University's College of Medicine. And a couple of days ago, I was asked to talk to the first-year medical students and first-year pharmacy students about digital professionalism and, you know, things to look out for. If you go to familymedicinerocks.com, I have a whole blog post about it. The title is Neomed Talk Digital Professionalism. And it was nice because I wanted to go back and share a little bit from my perspective from, you know, where they were at or where they are at. And I had a couple of pictures of me in the first month of my medical school life, and that was nice to kind of show them and reflect upon and talk to them about. But when it comes to digital professionalism, you know, in social media, I mean, that sounds like a bunch of garbledygook, but what does that actually mean? And I got to teach, I got to tell them about, you know, some of my experiences and some of the pitfalls, especially as somebody just beginning their medical and professional training. And you can see the slides at familymedicinerocks.com. The post is from Tuesday, August 28th, 2012, entitled Neomed Talk Digital Professionalism. And I gave them a five tips to keep in mind as they start out their training life, their professional medical training life. You know, of course, first, do not be anonymous. I share with them the Dr. Anonymous story, the benefits of it at the time, the rationalization of it at the time, but the negative, the ultimate negative parts of that, and why I chose to no longer be anonymous and to be in social media as myself, using my name, having a new website and things. The next tip, number two tip, is that do not talk, post, tweet, or share anything about patients on social media without their permission. You know, there's been a lot of examples out there of people, of physicians, of other medical professionals, of nursing students, of students, sharing things on social media, talking about things on social media inappropriately, whether it's talking about patients or revealing things out there, pictures and things that are inappropriate and the consequences of them, whether they are kicked out of school, whether they're fired from a job, whether there's some kind of legal action that takes place. So do not talk about patients on social media, except if you have their permission. And there's a couple of instances where I think it would be beneficial. First is talking to our legislators, our people in Congress, and saying, hey, you know, if you pass this, you know, legislation, Mrs. Jones, you know, will not get her services. Or if you do not pass this, she will lose these type of services. And, you know, what I've seen and when I've talked to people who do a lot of lobbying things, which is a, you know, dirty little secret, you know, you have to do lobbying and things to get stuff done at the government level, you know, that they like the patient stories. They like relating to one of their constituents rather than, you know, somebody like me giving them all this data to overwhelm them and be confused. They like these constituent, these patient-type stories. And another instance to use patient information or to use patient stories is, you know, in a fundraising situation. You know, little Johnny has, you know, a rare form of leukemia. There was a story here locally here of a small child who wanted to see Batman. That was one of his, you know, dreams in life, you know, 3 or 4 years old, you know, saw the movies and things, and the whole community came together to make this child's dream come true and also to help with fundraising and things. So those are a couple of instances where I think that it's appropriate to talk about patients on social media. The third tip here is to be an advocate on social media, be an advocate for your patients. You know, patients need us to speak for them. You know, patients, you know, need us to speak on their behalf, whether it's legislative things, whether it's, you know, some kind of, disease advocacy, you know, whether you're a patient with diabetes or with cancer or, you know, women's health issues. You know, the patients need us to be advocates for them, and I think that's great for social media to do that. You can also use social media, number four, you can use social media for patient education. You know, there's lots of great examples on YouTube of teaching, you know, medical things on YouTube, on social media, CPR. It could go both ways, you know, as far as vaccines and, you know, that they do not cause autism, or, you know, the vaccines and people scaring people and those type of things. So you have to use social media, I think, for patient education. And finally, you know, to use social media to tell your story. Excuse me. That's one of the reasons why I'm on social media, to tell my story, to tell the story of family medicine. I think that is, you know, part of the whole family medicine revolution, the family medicine community, you know, sharing their story on social media, and to help get that message out there. And so those are the tips that I told the medical students. You know, one, don't be anonymous. Two, do not talk, post, tweet, or share anything about patients on social media without their permission. Number three, be an advocate for social media. Be an advocate on social media. Number four, use social media for patient education. Number five, use social media to tell your story. And if you go to familymedicinerocks.com, you go to the post on August 28, 2012. The title is NeoMed Talk. That's the name of the school. NeoMed Talk, Digital Professionalism. And you have my slide deck there from SlideShare. You can download them if you like. Feel free to use them wherever. That was fun to do. It's fun to do to go back to the school. It's about 45 minutes away from Family Medicine Rocks World headquarters here, and I hope to do more work up there at the medical school to help them out, especially when it comes to social media issues. So that's it. That's all I have for you this morning, this afternoon. I want to thank everybody who listened to me live, and thank everybody, especially who listened on the archive podcast. I know, you know, one thing that's great about social media is it is asynchronous. So if you don't listen live, you can always download it later. Again, as I said at the top of the show, I want to thank everybody who, you know, who supports my, you know, social media life, my social media projects, what I do on social media, whether it's blogging or podcasting or videos. I couldn't have done any of this without you. I am humbled by the support that I have gotten worldwide on the stuff that I'm doing. It shows me kind of how small a world that we live in, and we really need to help each other out. So finally, for those of you who have hung on for the past 50-some minutes, I want to tease a little bit the future guest coming on in the next few weeks. I talked about it a little bit last week as well. Dr. Ted Epperly will be coming on to talk about his book, Fractured, about our broken healthcare system. Natasha Berger will be here, pediatrician from the Kansas City area, and Kevin MD himself, kevinmd.com, will be coming on in the next few weeks to talk about the state of physicians and healthcare policy, whatever he wants to talk about there. So my name is Mike Sevilla. Thank you so much out there again for tuning into the show.